Look, they made the Hall of Fame last year. Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits.
It's about time.
Yeah, they're good.
Come on.
It's a great song.
They let everybody in the damn Hall of Fame.
You're right. Even Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is fighting with Eli Manning, by the way.
As a matter of fact, yes.
We'll get to that.
Eli Manning and this guy from the New York Post, Frank Isola. He actually threatened Frank Isola.
The Daily News, Frank.
You know what? We'll get the audio. We're going to play it.
Yeah, Frank's a good buddy of ours. He loves his show. He listens every day.
No, he threatened Frank Isola, did Lil Wayne.
Well, we have one great author on moments ago. Mitch Albom was live in studio again. His sequel to The Five People You Meet in Heaven, The Next Person You Meet in Heaven, is out. He's a wonderful sports guy and a terrific author. But our next guest, this is as good as it gets. Whether you're talking about authors, political people, and even an amazing appearance on Sid Sports Sunday, week one of the NFL season. Who are we talking about, Bernard?
Big Bill O'Reilly, man. No, there's nobody like him. There he is, the legendary Big Bill. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, you guys, I want residuals for that Do It Live in your little production here.
Okay.
All right.
Fair.
ABC has got to be sending me a check for that every month.
Well, you know what? We'll send you a mug and a bumper sticker. How about that?
I need a mug. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Bill,
how you guys doing?
We're doing very well, Bill. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you. Listen,
Thank you. I heard your interview with Albom. It was very good. I didn't know he was doing work in Haiti.
Yes.
I support a clinic there as well, a dental clinic. He sounds like a really good guy.
He is a really good guy. He's a wonderful sports guy and a great author. Like you, great guy, great author, know all your stuff. And this new book, Killing the SS, which Bernie read a month ago and I just read recently, of the eight that you've done with Marty Dugard, this is as good as any. And for me, I got to tell you, as a Jewish kid from Brooklyn, World War II and the Nazis, this was a very, very scary book to read. Very scary, though.
Unbelievable. I mean, you learned...
Yeah, it's about evil. We wrote it because after killing Patton, this is the eighth killing book. The first seven have 17 million copies in print.
Wow.
So it's the most successful nonfiction series in history. And after killing Patton, we had this stuff left over about these unbelievably wicked people who manned the concentration camps and directed the Holocaust, who disappeared right after the war. And, Patton was interested in fighting Russia, so he wasn't looking for him. The American CIA was just forming, and they were mandated with keeping Stalin from conquering Europe, so they weren't looking for the SS guys, and they got away, a lot of them. And not just guys, women, too. So we decided to track it. And we had written Killing Jesus, and in the process had developed a very good relationship with the Israeli government. And so we went over again and talked to them, and they opened their files, their Mossad files, to us about hunting down these Nazis. So what we found out in the book has never really been published before. It's never been made public about how many people helped get these awful abusers and murderers out of Europe. And the money that changed hands, the shadowy organization Odessa that helped them, how they got to South America and Spain and South Africa. It was amazing. And then how they got tracked down, which was very difficult as well. So we're happy with the book. It's out yesterday, already, selling very, very well. And I appreciate you guys reading.
Listen, it's actually the information that comes out of that book that I was totally unaware of is jaw-dropping. Who looked the other way? The people that looked the other way, the institutions, the Catholic Church. I mean, the nation of Argentina, openly anti-Semitic, and they embraced the Nazis, the Perones. Eva and her husband, and the things that... Anyway, the book, Killing the SS by Bill O'Reilly, it reads like a novel, and you'll learn a whole hell of a lot.
Well, we wrote it with an eye on exposing evil. And this is an interesting topic, because we really have a lot of evil in America today. And no one can deny that. This is the greatest country on earth, but evil is growing. My mother, when I was raised in Levittown, Long Island, she had a nice life. She was kind of sheltered. Never really confronted evil, never saw it, never understood it. I bet you, Sid, your upbringing in Brooklyn was different.
Yeah.
Because the Jewish people did experience, 6 million murdered during World War II, which was very fresh when we were growing up, and you're a little bit younger, but in the 50s and 60s, that was still really fresh. Well, people in America now have basically looked away from evil in many cases, and I'm talking about people walking into schools with guns and killing children. I'm talking about the streets of Chicago where tens of thousands of people have been killed by drug gangs and shot by drug gangs. I'm talking about clerics abusing altar boys and children. This is evil, and we have to look at it. We have to see it for what it is, and we have to fight against it. And that's what the German people did not do. They had plenty of time to recognize what the Third Reich was, what Adolf Eichmann and these people, what they were doing. And the German people, they looked away and in some cases supported it. I mean, these were farmers, bankers, shopkeepers, who all of a sudden the World War II starts and they're in a black uniform with a death's head insignia on their cap, killing babies. They were regular, everyday people. And how could that happen? And so we explain all that in Killing the SS, and it's shocking in some areas.
Yeah, and you really focus on foreign, Bormann and Mengele and Barbie, and you mentioned Adolf Eichmann. You know, for people who have not read the book, Bill, I think that there's a lot of feeling here that FDR kind of allowed this thing to go on. I'm talking about World War II, not post, when the book is about trying to capture all these guys, but FDR knew very well what was going on. He knew Jews were being murdered every single day. And he basically sat around for a long time and did nothing about it. Yet he's heralded today as one of the great presidents, the guy that stopped the war, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of the Jewish people believe that he sat idly by as we were being slaughtered every single day.
Well, I don't know if that's entirely fair. The reportage coming out of Germany was scant. The Germans control the information flow. I have a Time magazine from 1938 where Heinrich Himmler's on the cover.
Wow.
It's harrowing.
Jeez.
Wow. And there's a big article about him. And in the article, it doesn't make much mention of the Holocaust, which was not quite underway at that point. The Holocaust started in earnest in 1941-42. But surely there were signs. But in America, FDR was dealing with a split population. Half didn't want to get involved with any foreign war after World War One, and half did. And FDR is the ultimate politician. And then, of course, after Japan, which had an alliance with Hitler, bombed us, then the war started. Did FDR know what was going on? He knew that Hitler and his henchmen hated Jews. Everybody knew that. All he had to do was read Mein Kampf. But I don't think he knew the systemic system that they set up under Adolf Eichmann. Eichmann was the architect of that. And the fact that he got away for 20 years is amazing. And here's another fact. You guys remember a few weeks ago that there was somebody in Queens, a concentration guard, camp guard, that was deported.
Yep.
Remember that story?
Yep. Sure. Yep.
That they finally found him 70 years after the fact. There was a woman living in San Francisco, a concentration camp guard, for 50 years. 50 years. She married an American Jew.
And this is this is in the book, by the way.
Yeah, and they finally found her, deported her to Germany, where she's still alive, and get this, she gets a U.S. Social Security check every month.
Unbelievable.
It really is.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. Bill O'Reilly, Killing the SS. I'm telling you, folks, it's a suspense. It reads like a suspenseful novel, Killing the SS by Bill O'Reilly. Go to Amazon.com. Go anywhere. Just get the book. It's going to be a great read, an edifying read, and a shocking one at that. Bill, let me pivot, if you'll allow me to.
Sure.
Some topical politics here. The Senate we just witnessed turned into sort of Lord of the Flies the past month, and you had this big battle, the lynch mob justice versus due process, and I think due process won, but you have some thoughts about accountability, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you know, the message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com yesterday was that some of these things that happened in the Kavanaugh hearings cannot be ignored. And two main things. Number one, the government has to find out who leaked that letter from Dr. Ford. Because Dr. Ford and her team claims they never wanted to go public, that they used Congress to send a letter accusing Kavanaugh, but they did not want her to be put in the firestorm. Okay. So we believe them, all right? Yeah, you say it. unless there's evidence of the obvious, I'm accepting it. So it's leaked out. There's only two people who got it: her congresswoman from California and Dianne Feinstein. That's all. That's all who had it. So someone there, and you're telling me the FBI can't find that out?
Right.
Can't find it out? All right. So you figured that would, they'd find that out in about an hour and a half. That's number one. Number two, you have Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, holding things back for 6 weeks, the letter back for 6 weeks, and dropping it just at the last moment to disrupt the Kavanaugh confirmation. That's politics, right? Okay. The Senate Ethics Committee should be investigating Ms. Feinstein and finding out why she held the letter back for 6 weeks when she could have given it to the Senate Judiciary Committee or and or the FBI, and this thing could have been responsibly dealt with instead of the lynch mob and all the chaos that we had.
No question.
So those are the two things that I'd like to see happen.
Okay, 60 seconds. We got to run. Bill O'Reilly, again, the book, Killing the SS, an amazing book. Everybody's got a theory. Everybody's got an opinion. Bill O'Reilly, why do you think Nikki Haley resigned yesterday?
No idea.
Really?
So that was, you know, now we have 55 seconds left.
You know, That's great.
Yeah, that's funny, man.
Yeah, you know me. I don't speculate on these things. You know, I know a lot of people do, and that's why I don't even watch cable news anymore. It's all speculation. I have no blanking idea. Maybe she wants to go back home to South Carolina. She's tired of being in New York traffic. I don't know why she resigned. I thought she did a good job, you know.
She certainly did. Listen, Bill O'Reilly, you filled in 55 seconds. And listen, Killing the SS, folks. Go out and get it. Amazon.com, wherever you got to go. Killing the SS from Bill O'Reilly. We thank you, Bill O'Reilly, for appearing on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Sure, anytime, guys. Call me anytime if you want to chat, and I really appreciate you.
It's an honor to have you, and we look forward to seeing you, by the way, on your show coming up next week. Thank you, Bill O'Reilly. Again, the book is Killing the SS. More of Bernie and Sid on a Wednesday, right after these words.
We'll do it live! Do it live! Bernie and Sid.